You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. All this week, we've been looking at why there aren't more veterans getting connected to the benefits that they might be entitled to. Michigan has consistently ranked in the bottom five states and territories when it comes to helping veterans and their families access federal VA benefits. In 2013, Governor Rick Snyder created the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency to address the state's low ranking. Here's him speaking on Veterans Day in 2014.
The state of Michigan is working to help veterans succeed. We've passed new laws to make it easier for veterans to use their specialized skills in civilian life. We host job fairs to help veterans find careers in our state. And the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency helps veterans get connected to the services and benefits they deserve.
Yet 5 years after the governor created the MVAA to address the issue, Michigan still ranks near the bottom in connecting veterans to benefits. We conclude our series with a conversation with James Redford. He's the director of the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. Cynthia Canty sent down with Redford to discuss the agency's efforts to improve conditions for nearly 600,000 veterans in our state.
How important is it to your agency to be able to locate Michigan veterans and get them connected to federal benefits and programs that they're qualified for? Where does that rank on your list of priorities?
Well, it's one of our top priorities, of course, Cynthia, because of our 600,000 sisters and brothers who've worn the cloth of the nation, many of them are entitled to benefits that they earned through their service to our nation. And so the identification of them, helping them get access to benefits, is something that's right at the forefront of our priorities and our responsibilities.
So what is the process? How do you currently locate veterans in Michigan?
Sure. We have a very robust outreach program through our Veterans Community Action Teams. Michigan is the first state in the nation to have community-based teams in every region of the state. And in our VCATs, we have over 2,300 community service organizations and partners that help us to reach and contact our veterans. We use traditional means like advertising, both on radio, which we are on right now, of course, and on television, as well as printed media. We have, as well, a Veterans Resource Center that operates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And that's a resource where any veteran can call their family members, 1-800-MICH-VET. And again, we were the first state in the nation to have this type of outreach platform available to all of our veterans, as well as a whole lot of other things too, Cynthia.
There was a 2014 Bridge magazine article where the MVAA spokesperson said there was certainly room for improvement. And we don't have a list of just who they are. So being able to locate veterans in Michigan was recognized early on as something that needed to be dealt with and a problem that needed to be solved. And in 2018, the Auditor General report says in its first finding that the MVAA still hasn't implemented processes to identify and contact veterans enrolled in state assistance programs who could be eligible for federal benefits. What are the barriers here? Why has this been an ongoing challenge?
Right. You're speaking now to a specific program called the Paris Program, Cynthia, and it's a wonderful program that works in partnership with the Department of Health and Human Services, and it's designed to try to locate the veterans who are receiving some type of state benefit through Department of Health and Human Services to find out, is there a better match, is there a better resource through the Veterans Administration? We did not fully optimize the contact with those veterans because I think we were looking for a perfect plan as opposed to proceeding with a good plan. The audit brought it to our attention. Our team highlighted it. We worked very closely together with the Department of Technology Management and Budget, as well as Health and Human Services, and now we are reaching out to our veterans. There are approximately 11,000 veterans who have, at one time or the other, been eligible or listed for some type of DHHS benefit. At the current time, my recollection is we've contacted approximately 3,500. And we have an outreach plan in place for we've reached out to 7,700, and we have a plan to reach out to the remaining veterans in the time period moving forward.
So overall, how would you say it's going now?
It's improving, but we're not done yet. Mm-hmm. I'd say it's getting better, but we're in a process of continual review, self-evaluation, and improvement. And I think each of us, I know I individually, can do my job better every day, and I'm working at it, and our whole team is, in conjunction with our partners in veteran service organizations and with our county counselors in all of 83's Michigan's great counties.
Jim, what about outreach to the veterans who might be eligible for benefits, but they're not connected to those benefits? They're not on Medicaid. Can you reach out to them effectively?
It is a process that we work on every day together in partnership with the county veteran service officers, with our partners in the veteran service organizations that are congressionally recognized, as well as our other state partners. We do it through, like I said, our community action team. We do it through our resource center. We have veteran-friendly schools. There are 67 of them in Michigan, 223 veteran-friendly employers. It's a full-court press so that we can connect with those that we stood the watch with so that they're able to access the resources that are most helpful and most available for them.
So overall, Jim, how would you say the MVAA performs when it comes to connecting individual Michigan vets to the federal benefits and the other financial programs that are available to them? What do the statistics tell us?
Our statistics tell us, Cynthia, that we're improving, but we're not where we want to be. Where we want to be is we want to be leading the nation, and we simply aren't there. In 2010, under the standard of measurement of what's called the GDX, which is the gross domestic expenditures from veterans, we were 53rd. It was confronted with that type of information that through the leadership of Governor Snyder and Major General Vatney, the Veterans Agency was stood up. So between 2010 and 2017, Cynthia, the GDX increased for Michigan veterans in federal dollars by 51% per capita. It increased 55% in total compensation and pension benefits to individual veterans, and a 46% increase in total education, vocational, and rehabilitation. We still need to improve. We still need to get better so that every veteran who has earned the benefit has the ability to apply for it, to have the first time that they submit their claim be a fully developed claim so it's ready for a decision, and then receive the benefits, either educational, monetary, or pension, or whatever other VA benefit they're seeking. And we're doing that together with our partners in the state, in the counties, and with the veteran service officers.
Now, Governor Snyder released a statement last year on Veterans Day, and he pointed to that better than 50% increase. And that is certainly important progress, no doubt a good thing. And then goes on to say in his statement, still only 18% of Michigan veterans are receiving benefits. And then looking at that 2018 Auditor General report, it says Michigan still ranks 48th of all the states in how much the VA spends per veteran. Why doesn't it seem like the needle is moving very much?
Well, moving five places is substantial, and the individual increase to the individual veterans, I think, is very substantial. So it is moving. It is a process that takes time. It is a process that we are working on collaboratively, again, with lots of folks. We're conducting training for service officers. We've conducted 1,162 training sessions for veteran service officers, trying to get everyone as fully prepared, ready to assist our veterans as is possible. And I think that you're going to continue to see growth.
If you've just joined us, I'm speaking with James Redford. He's director of the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, the MVAA, as we talk about ways to connect Michigan's 600,000-some veterans with the benefits to which they're entitled. There have been recent headlines, Jim, about plans to build and renovate veterans' homes in Michigan. And I know the MVAA is in charge of the state-run veteran nursing homes. So what can we expect? What are in the plans?
Cynthia, thank you for asking. In 2016, a work group was put together to create what's called the Michigan Veterans Facility Authority. The idea is to have a state entity that has greater independence, more flexibility, and more nimbly able to react to the demands of running a modern health system. We immediately applied for federal VA funding for a replacement facility in Grand Rapids and a new facility in Southeast Michigan, as well as asking to be put on a list that we want to have five other facilities. The reason we want to have more facilities is we want to have more facilities closer to where the veterans live, but smaller facilities. So we'll eventually be serving a slightly larger population than we did at the high water mark of the two previous homes, but it will be in places where they are close to the homes where the veterans have lived, raised their families, their children and grandchildren, their friends, neighbors. We'll be able to more conveniently go and visit them. We're very excited about it. We are beginning the building process through the grant program, and we'll be building a new facility in Grand Rapids and a new facility in Chesterfield Township in Macomb County.
Now, Jim, we had a conversation with Stephanie Zarb, who is a veteran who worked for a Michigan nonprofit, and she helped connect thousands of other Michigan vets to benefits. Take a listen to what she had to say about the focus on veterans' homes.
I'm not sure that state-run nursing homes are the future. To me, when we look at it, there's a program through the VA called Aid in Attendance, which is a benefit that if you qualify for the state home, you most likely are going to qualify for this benefit. So that's a federal government subsidy to pay for nursing home care. And you can go and procure a nursing home of your choosing.
So I'm glad who you are as the director of the MVAA, and I can ask you this. Do you think she has a point? Might Michigan get more bang for our federal dollars and get more aging and disabled veterans into housing if we just connected more vets to VA benefits, maybe rather than focus on state-run homes?
What I think we should be doing is both. We should be focusing on getting veterans who seek to stay in a private or nonprofit or church-based setting. And I think that we, like every other state and every other territory in the United States of America, should continue to have state veterans' homes. It's interesting, I think, anyway, Cynthia, in the work group, the first question that we asked, and it was absolutely the fundamental question, is should we even be doing this? Should we as a state have state veterans' homes? And there was very robust discussion about it. And I think at the second meeting, the unanimous vote was absolutely we should. I've visited our veterans' home in Grand Rapids and Chakabetti all the time. It's not a visit. I go there. It's not a visit. But I have visited once in another state. And every time it is a closeness and a supportive environment. I'm not saying it's perfect for everyone, but we have our sisters and brothers who have chosen to give some of their lives time to the service of our nation and our state, and I think it is appropriate for us to have them. I don't think it's the one-size-fits-all answer, but I think we should continue to have them.
Jim, we've talked with State Representative Jason Wentworth, who, like yourself, is a veteran. We talked with the director of a county Veterans Affairs office, as well as a longtime veterans advocate. And they all say veteran service officers play a crucial role in doing outreach and helping vets apply for federal benefits. And they all suggest there's a shortage of these accredited officers. Is there a shortage in your view?
I think we can always utilize more service officers. I couldn't agree more with our county leaders and with Representative Wentworth. And it's a question of where do we best do it. And we're so pleased that the bill introduced by Representative Wentworth to authorize expenditure of $2.1 million to allow all 83 counties to apply for Veterans Service Office grants effective October 1st, 2018. We're very excited about trying to plus up, because the more boots on the ground, the more likely we're going to accomplish the mission quicker.
What parts of Michigan do you think could use more?
Each county, the way that we look at it primarily, Cynthia, mm-hmm. is what is the veteran population in the county? Because that data is available through either the Census Bureau or through the federal VA. And then we try to determine how do we get the services to those veterans in the best way. Through the Coalition Grant Program, we have been providing goals to the coalition, and they haven't always made it. They haven't always made their goals, and they sometimes have more, sometimes have less, but we're working very collaboratively, very closely with them. We're also trying to train more of our officers, both state, county, and service organization.
And that is quite a unique relationship when you say working with these service organizations. But it is one the MVAA is responsible for managing. These organizations receive $3.8 million a year in grants to provide outreach services, including the trained veteran service officers. The Auditor General reports from 2013 and 2018 both cite poor oversight by the MVAA in managing these relationships. How do you feel the MVAA's oversight of its partnerships has improved?
We have improved it in a variety of ways, and I agree with the Auditor General that we were not doing everything that we should have been doing. We have brought on a grant compliance officer at the Lansing office. We also have undertaken a specific review and random sampling of claims that are undertaken, and we check to make sure that if there is a scheduled place that a person, service officer, is supposed to be, we make checks and we find out if, in fact, they are where they're supposed to be. And then we continue also, as part of our strategic plan as an agency, one of the things that we said is we're going to try and measure and assess the customer and service satisfaction. We're doing that with our coalition partners as well.
Are you expecting to see an improvement?
I do. I do, yeah. I mean, if you put resources towards a, sure, towards a solution, you hope to see improvement.
Because I guess, you know, the question has to be asked, why two successive Auditor General reports found the same problems? And I know you say you're expecting to see an improvement.
Right. I can't speak to what happened before 2016 other than there were findings that there was not a specific and robust oversight. Historically, this had been a direct appropriation. When the agency was begun, the appropriation then was handled as a grant through the agency, and it allowed for greater oversight, greater involvement, and I think better results in the long run.
The MVAA's strategic plan for 2018 to 2022 only shows one bullet point addressing veteran service officers. And we're talking about contacting, you know, some 500,000 veterans. Why isn't that more present in the strategic plan?
Right. There are 19 specific topics, Cynthia, in the strategic plan, and many of them cross a number of things. One of the things that certainly addresses contact with veterans is measuring and assessing customer service satisfaction. Increasing the number of veteran-friendly employers is about contacting veterans. Implementing a veteran-friendly community program to recognize 50 communities is about contacting and reaching out to veterans. So I don't want to be a disagreeable person, but I would respectfully suggest that it is a tapestry that has many threads, and the picture that comes from that tapestry is service to our veterans, connections to our veterans, getting our veterans the benefits that they're entitled to, and making Michigan to become the place that veterans are going to want to work, retire, and raise their family.
James Redford is a 28-year Navy veteran, and he's the director of the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. Thank you so much for being with us on Stateside.
Thank you so much, Cynthia, for your interest and the station's support of this important process.
Our series on Michigan veterans was produced by Tyler Scott and Joe Lindstroth.